on August 8th with the new songs and everything that you're learning and what you're doing differently, what's one of the first things your audience is going to see when they see the Springsteen Experience?
Maybe a calliope.
A calliope?
Yeah. Maybe something that's a little bit dark. Maybe a calliope with a Doppler effect happening, you know, some kind of like, no, maybe some carnival music, something on the big screen, and we're probably going to hit with either the whole Wild and Innocent E Street Shuffle album straight down, or we might hit with something a little more from the late 70s. Haven't done the whole set list yet, but we're going to have the horn section. It's going to add a lot to it. We're going to have, you know, a lot of textures. We'll have tuba, the accordion, a lot of different things going to go on this time. And we're going to get to the hits. That's the most important thing, you know, I want to let everyone know, is that we're going to play the popular stuff that most people will really enjoy.
Has the real Bruce Springsteen ever seen the Springsteen Experience?
I have no idea. I don't know. But I did meet him a couple of years ago backstage at one of his concerts. And it was a very unusual experience. So I think he might have seen it, but he didn't tell me that. Because he approached me and he said, "You're the one. You're the guy." And he was right in my face and pointing at me. And I thought, you know, they were going to throw me out of the place. I thought I did something wrong. But he stayed right there, and he stared at me. And this was a weird experience because I was waiting with my keyboard player, and we were waiting for Bruce to come back down this gauntlet of celebrities in L.A. Everyone there was somebody, you know. And we were waiting for him to come off the stage. I knew it was his last song because it was the last song I would have played. So I went there first, and we were waiting. We were first in line. And he comes walking down finally with two big bodyguards with him, heads down. Everybody's screaming, "Bruce, Bruce," and he's waving his hand in the air, but his head is still down. He's not looking up. And all of a sudden, he comes up right to me, and he stands there and looks at me in the face, and he says, "It's you. You're the guy. It's your fault. You're the one. You're the guy." And he just looked at me like that. I said, "Okay, whatever. I'm sorry. Whatever I did, you know, I don't know." And then he just stood there for that awkward period of time where your eyes lock with somebody and then one of you usually turns away. It's just a, you know, a human nature thing. But I didn't turn away. I just stared in his eyes and he stared at me. And then he just didn't say a word and just kept walking down the thing and walked right into his dressing room. He didn't stop to talk to anyone else. And then my keyboard player looked at me and goes, "What was that?" He said, "Do you know him? Why did he do that?" I said, "I have no idea." That was the most unusual thing I've ever experienced. I was shaking, you know, I didn't know what to do. I thought it was going to throw me out of there, but I just stood there, and then it was like I took all his mojo into my eyes. I just felt this energy, because, you know, he's just full of energy. It's more than you can handle. So I just kept taking it, and I didn't turn away. It was almost like a drug. I wanted this. I wanted to have what you have. So then the next night we played at the House of Blues in San Diego with the band. And that was the first night that on stage I felt none of me and I felt all of him when I was singing. It was one of those things where I completely lost myself in it. I didn't have any ounce in video, too, of looking me up there and thinking it was me. At that moment, I thought, now I can do this. I can really do this. So that was a good one.
What a story. What do you consider is one of the most important things that you've learned about being a musician and a showman from portraying the boss and the Springsteen Experience?
It's all about that particular show and that particular moment in that show. If you can give up everything else in life and be there, just like an athlete has to be there and be focused, you can make it work. The most important thing is that the crowd becomes part of the show. They are the only reason that you were there, or else you'd be performing for nobody or you wouldn't be playing at all. I have total respect for the crowd. And when you do that, you give yourself to them and then you just react off them. and every show is spontaneous. Every story I tell is spontaneous. I never write anything out unless it's someone's name I have to remember. But I always just feed off the crowd, as I think Bruce used to do more than now, because he has to get certain things out. And there's a lot of, you know, lyrics and a lot of other things that are on the teleprompter. But I think that just respect the crowd and then just respect this music and honor the man, because if we do it as close as possible to it, it would be an honor. You know, it's an honor for someone. We do it with total respect and never make it cheesy or funny unless it's planned. You know, those are a few of the things that I think. But as a performer, like I said, just feed off the crowd, and they'll almost instruct you what to do, the way they're feeling. You can feel the whole thing. You know what song to play next. You can just call out songs. You know how long to make a song go. You know if to cut it off or not. You can feel it. And I think you have to have some of that natural ability, too. You know, you can't plan everything.
Josh, thank you for your time today.